Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the Promised Land podcast, a podcast all about Manchester United. I'm Scott Saunders, back with you again after Man United beat Brentford 2-1 at Old Trafford in the Premier League on Saturday, the first game back after the international break. And all in all, I've got to say, it's nice to be able to come back on the podcast and be able to talk positively, because we haven't had enough of that so far this season and over the last few years. So let's see how long it lasts. But I just wanted to come here and say, all in all, quite happy with what I saw at the weekend. There's definitely things to work on, obviously. But a 2-1 win over Brentford after falling behind at Old Trafford, you thought, maybe a little bit apart, little part of you thought, we're seeing the same thing happen all over again when Matthias De Ligt goes off with a cut on his head, blood streaming down his face, even though Erik ten Hag said that blood was dry. And United concede from the corner. Matthias De Ligt kicks a ball on the touchline into the crowd in anger that United have conceded. And United go into halftime 1-0 down, but they did react really, really well. And I think that's what I want to focus on today. Rasmus Højlund scoring the winning goal. Alejandro Garnacho, a threat all afternoon with the first goal as well. And just generally positive. United go into two matches in the next few days away at Fenerbahce. Jose Mourinho, former United manager. Fred, former United player. Sofyan Amrabat, former United player. All welcoming their old teammates in a fixture which just looks a little bit like a banana skin. United really need to start picking things up in the Europa League. And then next Sunday, United go to West Ham, who look an absolute disaster at the moment, but I've seen Man United go to West Ham quite a few times and not pick up a positive result. So what we need to see this week is that performance from Saturday built on successfully, and we need to see form continued, promise continued, and good vibes. I hate the word vibes, I've got to say, but that's what we need to see. We need to see a continuation. We need to see some consistency, because we've not really seen enough of it so far. United are around 11th in the league, I believe, 6 points off the top four as it stands. 3 points off Chelsea now, who've had a really good start to the season but lost at Liverpool on Sunday. So, look, if United can string a few wins together, especially in the league, then they have the potential to move up the table pretty fast and change the feeling pretty quickly. We'll see what happens the next time United lose a game and see how much of a meltdown comes out of it. But I spoke on the episode last week about going into this patch of matches now between the October and November international breaks and just doing the job, just getting the job done, taking points, progressing in cup competitions, that kind of thing, and just making the noise go away. So they did a good job of that on Saturday for me. But yes, I'll be talking a little bit about Rasmus Højlund today and maybe look ahead a little bit to the Fenerbahce game. Won't be on for too long today, but it's nice that there's not a lot of noise going on around United at the moment, so I won't have to go and challenge it. Let's just say that. I don't feel like there's anything out there particularly to challenge, even though Dean Ashton's gone on Sky Sports and is talking about how bad things are looking for United, but let's ignore that. And today, let's talk positive. But subscribe to the channel if you've not done so already, the Promised Land of Man United podcast on YouTube. We can also get me on audio, Apple and Spotify as well. A big chunk of you come from Apple, but if you're not subscribed there or on Spotify already for the audio version of this show, then please do. And follow me on social media as well at @_ScottSaunders on TikTok, Instagram, and X as well. Now, I spoke a little bit on X after the final whistle the other day about United being able to play at a good level. And I think that is the reason why Ineos and the decision makers at the club have decided through all the noise to stick with Erik ten Hag, because we are seeing, and to be fair, we have seen over the last 15 months or so, small patches of good football from United. And I will stress that they've been small patches. Very inconsistent. There've been some god-awful moments, obviously, and that is that. It's been a bigger percentage of the pie, let's so to say. But I feel like Ineos have been loath to make any decision on Ten Hag. They made their decision in the summer to stick with him, obviously, and obviously there's a lot of noise going on around making the right call, changing the manager and turning things around. And I was just one of those, like just a couple of weeks ago as well. But what they're seeing and what I think Ten Hag believes, why Ten Hag believes he's got security, is because we are seeing in certain patches of play and for certain patches in matches, United playing well and playing cohesively. And that starts from the front, pressing from the front. We saw it in, I believe, both of the goals against Brentford on Saturday, but I'm thinking of the second one here especially, the flick for Bruno Fernandes to Højlund, who scored the winner. That came from United pressing from the front, pressing cohesively, forcing Brentford to go long, and Lisandro Martinez picks the ball back up and feeds it back in. United are able to create a second wave of attack because the press has been backed up properly. So Brentford didn't really have an answer throughout the second half to what United were doing. Something seems to click for them, and maybe that was the anger that was forcing United to play to that level. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. But United are, or have shown in the past, that they are able to play at a good, solid level. They just have, the problem has been that they haven't been able to sustain it for that long. It requires a lot of energy. It requires, you know, concentration. It requires knowing game states and knowing what to do in certain situations. And obviously, United definitely tend to get that wrong quite a lot. But I thought United's second half the other day was as good as we've seen for a little while. It was as good as we've seen maybe at points this season. Not that there's been a lot to shout about, but that second half was pretty efficient. United only scored 2 goals. They could have scored more. The stats were very much in their favour. XG was very much in their favour. Possession, shots on goal, shots on target, all of this very much in their favour. So the difference maybe we're seeing this season between United and their style this compared to last is the stats are tending to back up what Ten Hag is saying a lot more than it was last season. He's gone to a Football Writers Awards dinner last night and on Sunday night and said again that he believes United are moving in the right direction. Often it's been difficult to believe him, but he can actually back it up and say, yeah, there are metrics to show why we are moving in the right direction. So I think the Brentford second half was a good example of that. And I think that's why Ten Hag is still in his job, because he's shown, even though it's been in small patches, that that level of performance is there. The problem has been just sustaining it and getting results with it. And like what we need to see now is more consistently that level of performance, you know, brought into matches. We need to see it through a consistent run of matches, and we need to see chances that are created off the back of that style of play actually converted and sustained. So that is the best way that Erik ten Hag will quieten the noise. He's managed to do it, and it's good. He really, really needed that. I think it was a very big win for him and for United. Nobody's getting carried away, I don't think. I would hope not anyway. But it was a big win for him. And I think one thing that will always help is if you win matches. It will obviously quieten the noise. What United need to do at the moment is get their heads down and start showing that they're able to play this style of play with the intensity and the level of energy required more often and more frequently. And they need to start capitalizing on the chances they create. The second half was a really good example of that. So he will need more of those to quieten the noise. He's got 2 difficult matches coming up against Fenerbahce and West Ham, but positive signs. And I believe that if United can do that, then by the next international break, especially if they go and say win the next couple of games or play well in the next couple of games and maybe not win both, maybe they need to. Let me know what you think on that. Do they need to win both? I maybe think that they do, just because they started the season so poorly in terms of points. if he can get through this period now where United are showing consistent signs of moving forward in performance and results, then he will easily have the rest of the season to see where he can take United. He's got over 18 months left on his contract. He's got all of this season and next as it stands, even though people think, a lot of people think that his chance is gone. Maybe that is the case. Maybe they're waiting for a more friendly time to make that change or for a certain manager to become available. But I think what Ten Hag needs to do is more of what we saw on Saturday. And just to touch on the first half, I'll talk about Rasmus Højlund in a second because I really wanted to today. The first half was in patches okay, but obviously started with Brentford carving out a chance for themselves, which could easily have seen United 1-0 down within the first 5 minutes or something like that. And that obviously wouldn't have been the most pleasant of atmospheres for the team to play through throughout that first half. Brentford, they did fade throughout the game. I think United grew into it, but there were signs and there were threats that we were seeing the same problems cropping up over and over again. Brentford didn't take one of their chances until the stroke of halftime, and that was when United were down to 10 men. But I think United really need to... It took them a little time to warm up into that game and things seemed to click in the second half, but it could just as easily have been a difficult day had Brentford scored that first goal when one of their attackers had a chance from about 12 yards out to just tap in a volley. United need to be able to stop chances like that coming around. They need to be able to make this click for a lot longer and do it from the beginnings of matches rather than letting, let's say, inferior teams be able to get a foothold in the game. And I think the more time we give it, maybe the more time United are able to practice and be able to build on their fitness and this style of play, the longer they're able to sustain it, the better United will become. Obviously, they need to be able to start brushing teams on Brentford aside from pretty much the beginning, even though maybe that's a little bit unfair on Brentford because they'll give pretty much every team in the league a good game on any given day, because they're just a pretty awkward team to play against. But United did eventually grow into it, and really helped that they got the equaliser shortly after the halftime break, because if that difficulty, if they hadn't as scored as early as they did in the game, I think maybe the Old Trafford would have got a little bit nervous. And especially in the relatively comedic fashion that the first goal came about for Brentford. Now, I just had to say a bit on this. I mean, maybe it's been 2 days or so since this has happened, but my reaction to United conceding that goal to Ethan Pinnock just after Matthijs de Ligt had been brought off to get the cut on his head cleared up, I thought this is the most typical Manchester United thing of the modern day that I've ever seen. How many ways can we make this look ridiculous? The comedy value was massive. Obviously, I burst out laughing when it happened just because it was so predictably going to happen. Now, obviously, De Ligt picked up that cut in a challenge where he gave away a free kick for heading an opposition player's knee. I mean, maybe it was a free kick in the end, but it was a nasty cut, lots of bleeding, and he ended up going off three different times to get it cleared up. And the third time around that he had to go off, it turns out that the medical staff didn't do a good enough job of stopping the bleeding, and it fueled United's anger. But just to say this, I mean, it should have never got to that state. At any point, Matthijs de Ligt shouldn't have had to go off three times. It was negligent, I think, from the medical staff. Whether the blood was dry or not, it doesn't matter. The officials are expected to send players off the pitch in order to get treatment for an open wound or something like that. If there's blood showing, if there's blood on your shirt, it's been a rule for a long time that you can't be on the pitch and you've got to get cleaned up. So I don't think United can really have too many complaints. I just thought it was quite funny that obviously this was going to be how Man United conceded a goal. It was three different instances of trying to fix a player's wound, and United can't do it properly. They don't bandage his head up just until half time. Prefer to just let him go on instead. The cut opens up as he runs around. And eventually, the moment that De Ligt, United's best header of the ball, goes off the pitch. They concede from a corner when Diogo Dalo lets his man go and there's a free header at the front post. Maybe had De Ligt been on the pitch, maybe he'd have cleaned that up. But, you know, it was funny how the goal came about. But yeah, just to say it was really important that United were able to respond pretty much straight away through Alejandro Garnacho. It was a lovely goal, which I'll get onto in a second. But just on De Ligt for a moment, how do you guys feel about him? Let me know in the comment section of this show, the Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. Get in touch with me on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders. I thought Matthias De Ligt was a really good value signing. I was really excited for this. And I know that a lot of people had, maybe who weren't supporting United, had looked at this deal and thought, this guy's damaged goods. Juventus have let him go. Bayern Munich have let him go as well. What's wrong with him? United are getting him for a cut price deal. And I don't think that really entered my mind at any moment, to be honest. I don't think it did. United, any signing United make is going to be met with some criticism. But what I've seen from De Ligt so far, what a leader this guy is, honestly. The anger and frustration that he's shown on the touchline when that goal was conceded was, I think, that kind of summarized the fuel that United had for the second half. Whether they were wronged or correctly wronged or whatever, whichever manner that that anger came about, United managed to manifest that anger into something which turned out positive. But I think De Ligt is a really, really good example of a character that United need in this team. He defends with everything he's got. He was called lightweight in the summer. I believe it might have been Graham Souness who called him lightweight in the summer. He is anything but that. And to be honest, yeah, had he been on the pitch for that goal that United conceded, I think he would have been the type of guy to go and clear it. I'd be hell of a lot more confident with him like getting up and meeting that ball and clearing it than anybody else on the team. He is fast becoming really, really important to United. Fast becoming really important. And I'm really glad because he's had a difficult year or so. You know, he's had some injuries at Bayern, this kind of thing. He lost his place, although I think that was a little bit overblown and overstated. I think United got a good value deal there, and it's good to see Matthias De Ligt get a run of matches and start to show the player that he is. I think he's perfectly adapted to Premier League football. I think he'll keep growing, and if United can, you know, hit a run of form, I think he will be really important to underpinning that. And it's good to have a leader like that at the back. And next to Johnny Evans, who, just a quick shout out to Johnny Evans, by the way, still going strong. Amazing character. Great person for De Ligt to actually gain a bit of experience from. Actually, he's played with the likes of Chiellini and Bonucci in the past and has picked up plenty of experience, but he can maybe learn a thing or two from Johnny Evans as well. Absolutely stellar lad. He has been... I don't think anybody expected to see Johnny Evans play the amount of football that he's played since rejoining United, but, you know, it was a free transfer and perhaps one of United's best transfers going down the last few years. Really good to have him around the place. And Johnny Evans and De Ligt, wouldn't say this the first choice centre-back pairing at the moment because you don't want to see Johnny Evans playing all the time. But, you know, I think these pair, Johnny Evans especially, are really, really good examples to follow at a time where United need examples to follow in terms of the characters that they are and in terms of how they apply themselves. Both really good examples to follow. And just happy to see that they were able to play together and Lichen Martinez was moved out to the left. Martinez obviously not had the best season so far. I love him as a player, but he's had some struggles with his form, obviously. Hopefully he can start to, you know, rebuild his confidence and start to play himself back into form over the next few weeks. But, you know, it's good to see United. I think they've kept, at one point before the Brentford game, I think they kept the most clean sheets in the league so far this season, which is mad to say considering how many easy goals United have given up against Tottenham and Liverpool.
Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture, bedding, cookware, holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping. And right now, until October 31st, get 10% back when you join our new rewards program. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com. Terms apply.
Style every home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But yeah, very important to have a base that you can build off. Andre Onana, big shout out for him as well. Seeing him get a lot of love recently. And obviously the mistakes that he was making, touch wood, are a thing of the past. Fingers crossed. But obviously we want to see the type of form that he's putting in now extended through the next few weeks and months, preferably for the rest of his United career, you know. But just some, it's nice to be able to say positives and good shout outs. And I want to continue that with, I want to speak about Rasmus Højlund to end the show, but just a quick shout out for Garnacho and Marcus Rashford as well, who the front three in general the other day looked very, very threatening. And in the first half, I'd seen a little bit of criticism for Rashford, which is, I've got to say, unsurprising. He's an easy target at the moment, and I don't often agree with it. As much as we all want to see Marcus Rashford like really hit the kind of form he was hitting in there at Ten Hag's first season, he's had to change his game, adapt his game a little bit. And I think what he did for the team the other day was help bring the best out of other players. And he obviously teed up the assist for Rasmus Højlund. Again, teed up the assist for Alejandro Garnacho, obviously. And again, this goal came about because of sustained United pressure. There was an opportunity. United had brought the ball into the box. Brentford had defended it, but not very well. United kept the pressure on. The ball finds Marcus Rashford in the wide channel, and he whips in an unbelievable cross to Garnacho with a first-time volley, and it flashed past Flecken. And Garnacho was as threatening a player as United had on the pitch all that day. Really good to see him back among the goals. He's been in my fantasy team for a little while, losing value, depleting in value, but it's good to see him get back on the score sheet from the left-hand side. He's quite often been the one who's been pushed out to the right to accommodate Rashford, but it's nice to be able to see that the players are able to be mixed up and they can both bring different qualities to the team. Garnacho, obviously, is a threat that can go on both feet. Scored in the Community Shield against Man City, I think. Yeah, it was Community Shield, wasn't it, at the start of the season. Coming from the right side, finishing with his left. But Rashford spent the day out there and I thought was quietly effective. Maybe not so much in the first half, but in the second, he was quite effective. And he helped bring out the best in other players. One of those other players, as I've mentioned already, was Rasmus Højlund, who was particularly impressive. I saw different things about him on Saturday. He's obviously had problems with injury. Most of his time at United has been problematic with injury. Obviously, he's had some sustained periods out of the team and then sustained periods in the team. Let's hope this is the beginning of a relatively fruitful phase for him. There was other things about his game, Rasmus Højlund, the other day that were particularly impressive. And I'm talking about his ability to play with his back to goal and drop off centre-backs. Really, really encouraging to see that Rasmus Højlund has developed that side of his game, because we were seeing throughout last season, maybe I think Højlund was trying to get too integrated with the other centre-back, let's just put it that way. He was trying to like physically take them on, backing into them, this kind of thing. And quite often, you know, obviously he's 20, 21 years old, quite often he was coming up against bigger centre-backs or big centre-backs who've got a lot of experience at this level and was coming off second best. But what we saw the other day was United's play and United's attackers help contribute to Rasmus Højlund being able to do that. So there's examples in the match where I talked about Marcus Rashford just a second ago. Quite often he was wide on the right side, but he would often tuck in as well and act like a more of a narrow attacker. And obviously we all know Marcus Rashford's threat in behind. He and Christian Eriksen were in moments getting a bit closer to Rashford, getting a bit closer to Højlund, sorry, and offering that threat in behind to allow to occupy centre-backs and allow Rasmus Højlund to drop in. And we saw Højlund drop in and, you know, turn on the ball or help move an attack out to the opposite flank on numerous occasions. And I got to say, that's the kind of role and that's the kind of quality that I thought I'd see Joshua Zirkzee bring to the team. And that's why I was excited about Joshua Zirkzee coming in. But it turns out that Højlund has added that to his game. Obviously, I don't want to speak too soon. We need to see it against different opposition. But there was a moment where Højlund had come short, did a little flick around the corner, beat his man, and then switched it out to Alejandro Garnacho, who went on to have a shot and take on his man one-on-one. Didn't amount to anything, really. But it's very, very encouraging to see that there are early signs there of Højlund adding something extra and adding something new to his match, new to his game. It's quite encouraging. And he spoke after the game. And obviously he has been working with Ruud van Nistelrooy a bit, who's come in as United's assistant manager from the start of the season. And I think we were hoping when van Nistelrooy came in that these kind of qualities would be able to rub off on the players in the attacking positions. And Højlund was speaking to MeTV after the game and was compared to Ruud van Nistelrooy. He said, "I don't want to be compared to him. We're learning from him and working very closely with him. It's obviously a big step forward for me. I feel like I can develop a lot. He's doing a great job in helping the team." Saying about the front line, "I think all three of us had at the front played very well. It was good to play with Marcus, Alejandro and Bruno from the beginning at Old Trafford. I'd really missed it. Obviously, I had an injury at the beginning of the season and now I'm feeling 100% fit. It's a very good experience. I'm just trying to bring everything I can every time I step onto the pitch." And good. It's really good to see that Rasmus Højlund's back and getting through the swing of things. There was a point in the game where I was a little bit concerned, where I think he was withdrawn money for Zirkzee, who outside of his first goal in the first game of the season against Fulham, you know, it's taken Zirkzee a little while to adjust. And it's not surprising, really. He's a big guy, big threat, but he tends to let games pass him by at the moment. And we're not seeing the best qualities out of Zirkzee that I think we were hoping for. But obviously, it's been a few weeks. I don't want to criticize him too much, but that hasn't stopped actual criticism coming his way. It just seems like he's been a little bit too, maybe one step behind attacks. You see him obviously get into cutbacks or something like that. Maybe he's a step behind it and just misses it. Maybe that sharpness will come. Maybe there's an adjustment period he still needs to go through. But Højlund's had a first year, obviously, and it's good to see now. Maybe I'm speaking too soon, obviously, and we need to see this in consistently happen in more matches to come. But it's good to see that Højlund is starting to pick up different qualities to his game and qualities that I thought Zirkzee would offer that Højlund couldn't when Zirkzee was signed. So that's really, really positive. But like I say, big shout out to Rasmus Højlund. I thought the attack played really well and plenty of chances created, a lot of them for Garnacho. United managed to isolate Garnacho with his opponent. I think Seth Vandenberg was playing there for Brentford at right back on Saturday. More of that, please, is all I'll say. More of that, please. United play Fenerbahce and West Ham over the next two matches. Both difficult away games, obviously. And the pressure's really on in the Europa League, I say. United need to start picking up points. I believe they've drawn with 20. They've drawn with Porto. And Fenerbahce will be a really tough game. Always a difficult place to go in terms of the noise and the atmosphere, let alone when you're playing against Jose Mourinho's team. He used to be the United manager. The narratives are already written, aren't they? The paper's going to have a field day unless United do this job properly. We do not want to see Fred scoring a free kick against Man United or Sofyan Amrabat absolutely running the show in midfield, because that's what awaits if United don't get their heads on the job and execute properly. United play that match on Thursday night, and then they go to West Ham on Sunday. I'll be back on Friday to talk about what we've seen in the Fenerbahce game, and hopefully I can continue the positive noise that I'm making and we see a positive performance and not Jose Mourinho beats former club with Fred scoring a free kick or something like that. You just know that any slip up that United have at the moment, the press are absolutely ready to jump on headfirst and go to town on it to, you know, let the narrative spin round for the next few days. This would be a perfect example of how things can get out of control really, really fast. United have to go there and do their job. Obviously, the players, I don't think they're thinking about these things, but just from being in the position of consuming everything around United that we're consuming at the moment, it seems like an easy win for the media to crank up a notch of heat on Erik ten Hag. But what ten Hag has to do is do more and get his team to do more of that second half performance against Brentford. Fingers crossed we can see more positives moving forward, and fingers crossed we can see the winning momentum continue. I say winning momentum, has been one game so far. I'm not sure when momentum actually comes into play. Maybe we need two or three wins to start calling it momentum, but I just did that anyway. Guys, thanks for listening. Bit of a shorter one today, but obviously positive at the moment. And it's good to see that United have come through a game where they were down and under the cosh for a moment. They reacted really well and they came back to win a game, and they deserve to win it as well. So let's hope we see more of that and less of the noise that we've seen so far this season. But yes, thanks for listening, guys. The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast on Apple, Spotify and YouTube. Please subscribe on all of those channels and give us a follow on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram and TikTok. Until Friday, after the Fenerbahce game, I'll see you next time. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend as well, because Manchester United are back to winning ways. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.